Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the Reaches. With me is Mitch Steen. Mitchell, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
We are great. I am great. That sounds like I'm a schizophrenic. And when they see me coming down the hallway, they go, here they come. And that is not the truth at all. But
it's just that you do so much that of the, let's say, working, multitasking, that you're just all over the place.
Yeah, that would be good. And that's what we're going to talk about. Partly is how to multitask, but also what neurolinguistic programming is. Now, before we get started, of course, this is the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network, the home of Breakthrough Thinking, which is business, psychology-type shows, legal shows. Of course, at 3 o'clock Pacific Standard Time here in Phoenix, we're going to have Practical Business Solutions from 3 to 4, which I'm Hyten right now, or Hyten Lewis. And we're going to talk about some tax stuff. We're going to talk about the Patient Protection Affordable Care Act and a bunch of stuff that businesses want to know. And it's also the home of Breakthrough Sports, which is heard live here every Wednesday and Friday and Saturdays, 11 to 2, on KPHX 1480 here in Phoenix, Arizona. And Breakthrough Entertainment used to be called the magazine. It is now Breakthrough Entertainment, live interviews with the celebrities, movie reviews. Mitch, you have heard that show before. Are you a big movie fan?
Oh, absolutely.
What's your favorite movie of all time?
Oh, of all time? Fantasia.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
That's fantastic. Oh, I mean, Fantasia, fantastic.
There's something about the animation and the way that they put it together. Plus, the music is just wonderful anyway.
I don't think I've seen that.
And then they did the follow-up 60 years later of Fantasia 2000.
Yeah? Oh, like HAL, right? Oh, that was something 2000. What was that, Aerospace?
No, that's a 2001 A Space
Yeah,
Odyssey.
That's one. Yeah, quite an odyssey. Now, let's so, of course, your shows, I want to make sure listeners know that the first Tuesday of the month from 3 to 4, The Bottom Line, and that's tomorrow, so you're going to be on again.
Yes, I am.
And that's going to be good. And, of course, we talked about The Bottom Line. Totally, it just doesn't totally mean net income, but anything that make up the bottom line, efficiency, it could be on the mindset. It could be on certain aspects of best business practices. So if you're a business, you want to stay tuned every first Tuesday from 3 to 4 o'clock with Mitchell Spain.
And then we also have the fourth Tuesday.
Standard of Excellence.
That's right.
And we've had some great guests, Ann Myers Drysdale, Phoenix
That's
Suns,
right.
and Phoenix Mercury. Wow, speaking of the Mercury, they're ready to roll. The 27th, their first game.
That's right.
What do you think of that?
I'm looking forward to seeing the team and some of these other new players that have come into the league because it's just going to be very exciting.
And it starts off, first game on the 27th, U.S. Airways Center, Brittany Griner, number one draft choice for the Phoenix Mercury. And they're going to play?
Chicago.
With the number two pick?
Diana Deladon.
Wow, that sounds like a song, right? Did you say Diana Deladon or L?
I think Elena Deladon?
Yeah. No, doesn't it sound like a song? Wasn't there a song like that? Deladon?
No. I'm not that familiar with
okay.
that.
Maybe not. Anyway. So let's give a little bit of background some of the people that don't know us. Of course, both Mitch and I are CPAs, both here in Arizona and California. And tons of experience between us. It's hard to believe. We have, what do we have? Like 52 years of experience. Is that right? Probably more.
That's all right.
No, maybe 55. I have about 30, but I'm young. Really, I'm young at heart. And Mitch, you have about 25?
Probably 27.
Oh, you're catching up to me? What did I pause? You put me on pause?
Well, you see, the percentage is getting smaller. That's all.
Oh, No, but we were talking actual hard years.
Well, let's see.
Oh, I must have more than 30. Okay. Oh.
My first job out of school was in with the government was in 1980.
Yeah, that's right. Former government auditor.
Right.
And so am I.
So that was 1980 when I started with them.
So that's 33 years. Did I add that up, right, as a CPA? Where's my calculator? 10, 20, 33. So that means then I must have 30. Oh, you have. Oh.
CPA.
I must have 36.
I became a CPA in 1991. If you're really going to get.
Yeah, but you've had that experience.
But the experience goes back to 1980.
So let's see. Yeah, with all the. Wow, so 36. That's 69 years. Holy moly, who could have made that up?
We've been around for a while, haven't we?
Who's older, though? Oh,
okay. Oh, it depends on it.
Who's wiser? Okay, maybe not. Anyway, this is the NLP show. Anyway, NLP, what is NLP anyway for anyone, whether you're a business or an individual, doesn't matter. We gear it a lot to businesses, however, but applies to individuals, of course. In fact, people, if they want to follow along, go to acceleratedmastery.com. That's acceleratedmastery.com, the NLP website that we have. And accelerated is ACCELERATED, mastery.com. And you can look at all this great NLP stuff. But what is NLP? I guess I'll answer it. Or, Mitch, you can ask me the question.
Dave, tell me, what is NLP?
We didn't rehearse this. I didn't know this question was coming. NLP, really, it stands for neuro-linguistic programming. It's a study of human excellence and has some great models in which to create excellence and mastery in all areas of your life. Who wouldn't want to learn that, right?
There is nobody that shouldn't want to.
Yeah.
And because it only helps improve whatever you're doing. I mean,
in any area.
Absolutely.
Could be relationships. It could be successfully completing your marriage. No, that came from you, remember?
Yes.
Every time. How did that go about? How did you learn that, by the way?
That terminology actually came from Toastmasters.
Oh, it did?
One of the gentlemen there had successfully completed 3 marriages. And so, and that's the terminology that he used. And I really liked it because it was more positive way of looking at what was going on, because divorce, the word divorce has such a negative connotation to it.
It does.
And so if you can use positive words instead of negative words, you're going to move forward in a much better way.
No question about it. It just sounds funny because I could picture people going on Craigslist now and saying, hey, who wants an experienced, successful completion of their marriage? And I, you know, that particular guy had 3 of them, right?
Yes.
But does that mean he'll be a better husband?
It depends on the next relationship.
Yeah, that's true. That'll be our relationship show. Anyway.
Either that or you'll get to talk to Jim later on.
Yeah, Jim Eaton we're talking about.
Well,
of course, attorney coming in at 3 o'clock today. Now, NLP, study of what makes a difference between people who demonstrate excellence and those who seem to be struggling. And we all know a lot of people that are struggling. And really, mindset is so big. I'll say it numerous times in business and as a CPA, a lot of people just go for information. A lot of CPAs, a lot of consultants will give information. But giving information to someone that has a disempowering mindset, it's not going to take. I mean, that's how I got into NLP back in the mid-80s is because I would check, you know, I would discuss issues with clients and a lot of clients didn't have the mindset to really take information, great consulting or advice, and they had either sabotage mechanism or defense mechanism going on or something that they just didn't feel they could excel in a way that others could. And
so
that's a problem.
And there's so many different ways to approach it. You know, you can take one type of solution and come at it from so many different directions so that mindset will work.
Yeah.
But the consultant, i.e. you, has to get to know the person so that they know how to get to that point before it really will work to its fullest
Yeah, no doubt. And but you know, let's go over a couple of things which I think would be really interesting. Most people, or a lot of people, I should say, have self-defeating patterns of behavior, and NLP provides methods and tools for eliminating self-defeating patterns of behavior. And we know what that is. I mean, people maybe who smoke, that's really a self-defeating pattern for various reasons. People that have anger issues, that can be self-defeating. People that constantly get in accidents, you know, either because they don't want to take responsibility, be accountable, or perhaps they want excuses why they don't succeed. And there's a lot of, I think you've seen people like that. I've seen it. And it's not intentional. It doesn't mean they're bad people at all. It just means they have these patterns unconsciously that seem to get in the way of them reaching their full potential. So if you have the belief that you're here on earth to really give of your gifts and talents, you really have to reach your full potential to be able to fully give your gifts and talents and to serve others. And if you don't have it, you can't give it. And I think that's really important. And if you look at it in business, if you're not fully an elite type of firm, and we've talked about this, or you're not performing best practices, or you're not performing at the top of your game like in athletics, you're not going to win the championships. And winning the championship in life is becoming your best and helping other people to become their best. But do you agree?
Because it all comes back to you eventually anyway.
Yeah.
You know, as you help others, it comes back to help you too.
It really does.
And it gives you a sense of self-motivation to be able to do that. It comes back. You try and help others, and then others help you, and in addition to which, as you do things, it's just self-gratifying.
Well, it is, and there's no better reward than helping others anyway. So that, you know, a lot of people are focused on the money, but if you focus on excelling and how many people you can use your gifts and talents to help in ways that will enhance their lives, things get better very quickly for everyone. We talked about self-defeating patterns of behavior. Developing passionate states of mind, that also is what NLP has models to teach people, how to get to a state of mind. I mean, state of mind that supports your goals. So if you look at it, if you see a depressed salesperson, they're not going to be very good in sales, you know.
No.
But if you see someone passionate, enthusiastic, exciting, and generating excitement to others and really believe in their product or service, that makes all the difference. A state of mind is crucial to be able to get through all the obstacles that we have experienced here on Earth, because I think that's what Earth is about,
okay,
throwing obstacles at you.
Oh, absolutely. Now, if you were to take that individual that was not feeling as optimistic as number two that you were talking about, what would be the best way to handle that person to get him much closer to the optimal
state
mindset?
Of mind. Well, you know, there's so many different ways you can do that. One simple way, actually, if you think about it, is to be able to know what you're focusing on. This is really critical. See, people have choices. They can focus on negativity. They can focus on the worst that can happen. They can focus on what they don't have. And by the same token, you can focus on what you do have, appreciate it, and what you still need to do. You can, you know, it's simple as, it sounds simple, but it is simple, actually, because people that focus on the things that could go wrong and they don't focus on the things they should do to make things go right, you're going to have probably a poor state of mind. And so you want to start by looking at what you focus on. And is it negative or is it positive? Now, it doesn't mean you can't think about things that could go wrong. You just don't want to focus on it. You want to focus on all the positives, what could go right. Where are you in the process, not what you still have to do in the process? Because like going to college, right, Mitch? I mean, 4-year degrees, 5-year degrees. If you focus on, oh, man, I have 5 years to go, versus focusing on the benefits, what are you going to do after 5 years? How much better you'll be off? How much better maybe your family be off? That makes a big difference.
Oh, it also goes to one of the things that we've talked about a lot, and that's looking at things more globally than just taking a narrow look at things.
Yeah. And what you mean, Mitch, by that, there's a couple aspects. You can look at the big picture, or you could look and get stuck in some of the detail. And that's another problem. If you get stuck, sometimes people get stuck in the detail, one aspect of what they have to do. And if they view what they have to do from a chunking down position, they can get overwhelmed because they're going to see all the pieces they're going to have to do.
Explain what chunking down is.
Well, chunking down is moving to its smallest component. So for example, if you had to clean a kitchen and you looked at it globally, you would look at the end result. Oh, the kitchen will be clean, you know, the dishes put away. But if you look and count all the dishes, if you have 100 dishes and you go, oh, my gosh, that means I have to do 100 of these dishes. That if you chunk it down and you do one at a time, that could help too, by the way. So if you could say, yeah, it's just one dish at a time. If I just did one dish and the other 99 I'll do the next day or I'll do it.
You've accomplished something
yeah.
that you set out to do.
So it, yeah, everything.
You're setting yourself yeah. up for success that way by chunking down in that sense.
Yeah, because if
and
you,
moving towards the overall
yeah.
goal.
And what's interesting is that if you look at it, people that go global, you know, and there's a, it's always beneficial to know when to use being to a global view versus a chunking down view. But if you're overwhelmed, for people out there that are overwhelmed, you want to chunk down because you just want to go to its smallest component. So, for example, a lot of people tell me about this. They hate doing their tax returns. Now, we're CPAs. We do a lot of tax returns. But some people do it by themselves or they get ready to give it to their CPAs. But if they look at it and they go, oh, my gosh, I have a year's worth of receipts to gather. But if you chunk it down the smallest component, like today I will only get, let's say, I'll find where the receipts are. And that's how you do. The second day I'll start doing only 3 days out of January, you know, and I get all those receipts. And you chunk it down to the smallest component so it doesn't look like you have to do everything at once. The example would be, let's say you had to go shopping and you never shopped for a year. Now you got to shop for the whole year. That'd be overwhelming to people. It'd take you days and weeks and months to go shopping. But if you shop every day or every other day, little bits at a time, it takes the overwhelm away. And people do get overwhelmed because they think of everything they have to do versus just doing one part of what they have to do. And that makes a difference.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. One of the things that you and I have talked about was the boom boom technique.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to make sure that...
And that was not a dance club in Chicago, by the way.
It wasn't.
Okay, it was. But that's a different boom boom technique.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. I haven't been there for a while.
Oh, you've been there, though. That's
Chicago, yes.
Oh, good. Oh, not the boom boom technique.
Yeah.
Now I've distracted you.
Going into the process by knowing what you're going to do ahead of time, planning goes into this so that you can get things done in a more efficient manner. Again, going back to the efficiency, the smallest component, okay, I've got to go here, I'm done.
You know, I learned that through neuro-linguistic programming, but one of my colleagues, actually not a colleague, when I was interviewing for Kenneth Leventhal and Company, they eventually merged in with Ernst & Young back in the day. When was that? 1980, I think. One of the partners in the interview, they said, how do you eat an elephant? I go, that's an odd question for a CPA firm. They were 12th largest at the time, number one in real estate. So I go, well, let's see, how do you eat an elephant? And it came to me. I go, one bite at a time. That's chunking down. If you worry about the whole thing, and he was looking at my mindset. Ken Leventhal, what a great CPA firm that was. That's where I learned how to think, I believe. It wasn't in college. It was working with these great partners and employees of Kenneth Leventhal, which were phenomenal thinkers. See, not everyone think alike. You know, people have different ways of thinking, and that makes all the difference in if people are successful or not. How do they think? Not what they think about, but how do they think about what they think about? very important. That's NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. But I think he was just testing, I'd be a guy that would be overwhelmed, because they don't want people to get immobilized, paralyzed with a problem. They want people to know how to think about a problem. And one way is to chunk down to its smallest component so you're not overwhelmed. And that's why he asked that question, and luckily I got the right answer. That's how I got it.
Congratulations.
Otherwise, if I said, well, I would probably cook it on a stove and eat the whole thing in one day, I probably wouldn't have got hired. But he was testing, like, how do you think about this problem?
Well, and it is also just because of the way he asked it.
Yeah.
It's thinking outside the box, because it has nothing to do with accounting.
No.
When you're talking about an elephant, it has nothing to do with accounting, nothing to do with taxes. So it's being able to think on your feet, or if you're sitting on your chair.
We didn't call it back then, but the chair works. But you're right, and that's what he wanted to know. And I didn't disappoint him at all. But I had that sort of natural way of thinking anyway. And it's but people can learn that. And that's what neuro-linguistic programming can do. Real quickly, and then we'll take a break, is NLP also enhances communication skills. There's certain language patterns that people can use, and as well as nonverbal communication, eye access cues or certain ways people hold themselves, certain body language movements, very important. Also, creating compelling futures, developing new and supportive belief systems, very important. And like we said, new ways of thinking and deep levels of rapport with others, another very big part of neuro-linguistic programming. And we'll continue our discussion on NLP. We'll take a quick break. And when we come back, we will talk about what's called strategic integration for businesses out of there. Classic strategic planning with an integration piece on the mindset, belief systems of people. So I think that's a critical aspect. If you're in business anywhere, definitely you want to learn what we're going to talk about right after.
Birenbaum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Weidenauer, Heinzen & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Weidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac alongside Mitchell Steen, and we're both CPAs talking about a whole assortment of topics that apply to individuals and businesses. The topic, of course. Wow, and that was our music, Stray Cats, that got astray, I think. I believe.
They went a little astray, yes.
Yeah, who's our producer on today's show? Who was our producer?
Your mouse froze on me.
So we got a frozen mouse, actually. They're very good at yogurt shops all over the valley. Anyway, so neurolinguistic programming we're talking about. This is an NLP show. Mitch, I forgot to tell people. People are probably wondering right now, NLP, why do two CPAs talk about NLP? And you're going to say...
Because it helps them in business. I mean,
that's true too. But what else? This is a quiz. This is unrehearsed.
That's true. So the whole idea behind this is that you've got to have the right mindset to be able to do well whatever you're doing, and this is part of it.
Yeah. Well, one thing is. And I know you know this, but I'm a certified master practitioner in NLP. That's why we're talking about it. Otherwise, people are thinking like, hey, two guys, CPAs, what do they know about mindset, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. But,
As I said before, the only way to truly understand this from a business standpoint is to understand not only the dollars, the bottom line, and everything else, but how you get there and the process of getting there. And that's what the NLP is all about.
Yeah. And that's a good segue to what we're going to talk about right now is there's really two guidance systems. And this is really important because it's just not content. You know, the process becomes really important, really what guides your behaviors. Because if you look at it, your behaviors are the things that will get your goals or won't get your goals, if you think about that. It's through your behaviors that generally goals will manifest or not. But your behaviors are a result of something else. And a lot of people don't think about that. They try just behavior modification. Well, if I change this, you know, if I force myself to network instead of zero times a week, maybe three times a week, perhaps I'll get more exposure to people and then people can know about my product or service. But the problem with just changing your behavior could set up internal conflict. So you may resist it. And one part of you may say, well, yeah, I want to network. Another part of you say, wow, I'm too tired to network. And it sets up internal conflict. So you're not all in, as they say in poker on ESPN. I don't even know why poker's a sport. You know why poker's a sport?
I don't think it is.
But it's on ESPN. I just don't get it.
Just because it's on ESPN doesn't... Look, they do the sports science. It's not a science.
Oh, yeah, good point. We'll have to analyze that and then figure that out. Anyway, so what we have is an internal guidance system and an external guidance system. And I started coining those terms for neurolinguistic programming. And let's start with external guidance system. Those are all the tasks that people do. Those are the projects, the tasks, the behaviors. It's the what they do, their actions. And that could be anywhere from marketing to sales to administrative activities. It could be, you know, product development. It could be qualitative or quality assurance, CFO type things. So it's one thing just to do tasks. It's really, and that's the what of what people do. The real key is how they do what they do. If you think about it in athletics, anyone could get up there in baseball and swing a bat. But really, how do you know, the stance, how you hold the bat, what you look at when the ball comes off the pitcher. You know, there's a lot of mechanics involved. It's how you swing the bat, not just randomly swinging the bat. And that's the problem with business today, the mediocre businesses.
Or is it a challenge that those businesses have?
Well, it's a challenge, and they don't see it as they sort of look the wrong way because a lot of them don't do NLP training. So they just focus on do more of what you're doing wrong anyway. And just, you know, I remember a cartoon once, and there was a rowboat, and they had about eight people rowing, and the captain was at the top of the rowboat, and there was water leaking in through these holes in the rowboat. And all the captain said, row faster. You know, not plug up the holes, row faster. And that's typical in business today. Panic mode, reactive mode, they're not proactive, no strategic planning, strategic integration. So the key is to understand what you do is important, but how you do what you do is much more valuable, because you could have two salespeople. They could still go out and network the same way. They can meet the same number of people. But what makes a difference? How they relate, their communication skills, their beliefs in what they do. And that's the internal guidance system. So let's think about that for a second. If the external guidance system is the activities that you do, the actions that you do, the behaviors that you do, the projects, the tasks, the what of what you do, that's one thing. But everyone can improve. And if you do something better, then the what becomes better. But how you do the what is important. That's internal guidance system. So what makes up the internal guidance system? And this is really important. Well, your beliefs. And as the sign or the saying goes, if you believe or you can or you can't, you're right. And that's how powerful beliefs are.
Back to the little engine that could. If you do.
Yeah, that's right. I never read that book. Was it good?
The story? Yeah, absolutely.
How did that go?
The bottom line of this is that
it
went uphill and then downhill because it said that it could. It felt that it could.
Yeah. So that's the beliefs. You're right. That's absolutely correct. And if you believe you're capable of something, then you're motivated to maybe learn, to get better, to improve your skill set. Now, what's interesting to me is that people will take their computers or their software and go, you know, from 1.1 version to, you know, they'll upgrade it every year to, you know, 10.9, whatever. But they don't upgrade their own skill sets. They'll upgrade the tools, but not their own skill sets. So if people haven't really worked on their beliefs, because there's a lot of disempowering beliefs, there's a lot of beliefs that will limit their full potential. And if they haven't broken through that, like the name of our show, Breakthrough Thinking, that's a problem because they'll stay stuck in what they're doing.
Well, part of it is, and I'd like you to kind of respond to this, they don't necessarily know what is limiting them from that standpoint. You know, they're just going on doing what they feel is the best that they can, and they're not realizing that there's so much more potential out there.
Well, there is, and they think that. I always get a kick out of this. People say, well, I have 20 years of experience. No, they have 20 years of 1 year times 20 of experience, meaning if they never grew past that 1 year to improve, but they're just going 20 times their first year of experience without ever doing anything different, without better sophistication, empowering beliefs, greater values, incredible skill sets, and they're just repeating that first year 20 times. So it doesn't impress me when someone says, I have 20 years experience. What does impress me is that if every year you improve and you measure it, and every year you become greater at what you do, and you consciously have a plan to become greater, and if you look at your weaknesses, and everyone has weaknesses, and you improve on those, you identify what they are, you improve on them, and you watch yourself grow, just like a kid that's, you know, walking at maybe, you know, is crawling at 8 months, walking at 1 year, starting to talk. You want to see that continuous improvement towards sophistication and a sense of reaching your full potential. And beliefs are one thing. And again, it's so unconsciously embedded that most people, like you said, Mitch, don't realize where their limitations are. But if you look at the world as a big TV screen reflecting back to you what your innermost thoughts and feelings are, you'll see where you're not reaching one's goals because you're either reaching it or not. The question is, are you setting goals to be able to see if you can meet and exceed them? If you don't set goals, you can't measure how you're doing. And a lot of people, I believe, don't set goals because they're afraid of taking responsibility. They're afraid of failure.
Oh, absolutely. That fear can paralyze you.
It can, because they don't want to feel like they're not worthwhile. It's self-esteem issues, self-image issues. And it's unfortunate because people rely on people like leaders in business. Even if you have two people working for you, you're still a leader, and you owe it to your employees to be the best you can so they can grow. If you're not growing, they may not be growing. If they do, they're going to outgrow you and move somewhere else, probably to your competitor.
Agreed. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to stay where you are when everybody else is moving forward.
So some of the things that I'm going to focus on in the internal guidance system, one is beliefs. You really have to examine your beliefs. And this is just sort of a general thing today we're going to talk about, but as we have more NLP shows, we're going to go more specific how to really identify limiting beliefs. The key is to understand what self-imposed limitations you have. And I use the word self-imposed limitations because all limitations, I believe, are self-imposed.
Well, I happen to agree with you, and I think it's one of the things that I'm constantly looking at, not only for myself but for anybody else, is, okay, what do you want to do, but don't you think you could do a little better than that? You know, even if it's just a little, you know, take the incremental steps to push yourself so that you can get to that next level, which is ultimately what everybody wants. They've got this goal of being a millionaire, for instance.
Yeah.
But you got to get to that first 100,000 or, you know, first before you get there. So you've got to take the steps that's necessary so that you can reach those goals.
Yeah, you know, I like what you just said. And that's part of what the NLP outcome frame is. And I'm going to jump a little bit to the NLP outcome frame. People can Google that, by the way, or go to the website at acceleratedmastery.com, acceleratedmastery.com, and learn more about neurolinguistic programming. But too many people, and we'll have this as a topic probably during this week later on, they don't know how to set goals. People will set goals that are disempowering. For example, like you said, they want to be a millionaire. But the key, the real way to set goals is to look at the components. What steps do you have to do that could lead to being a millionaire? And one of the things that the NLP outcome frame says is, what can you do that is controlled solely by yourself and not being relied upon?
External forces.
Yeah, or other people. And that's really important to be able to understand how to set that goal by learning to what do you alone control? What steps can you take? So, for example, I'll give you another example. If you want to, some people say, I want 10 new clients a month, you know, or 10 new customers a month, whatever the case might be. The question is, do you and you alone control the outcome? Now, you can't control, I can get 10 new customers, but you can control the steps to get to the customers. For example, one step would be, okay, should I go out networking and meet 100 new people? That'd be step one. That is in your control. You can find a networking group. You can go and in that week meet 100 new people. That's step one. Step two, did you follow up on meeting these people? Did you engage conversation? Did you offer to send them material? Did you say, nice meeting you? And these are steps that ultimately can lead to more clients or more customers. So being able to chunk it down like we talked about earlier, to break it down into manageable steps that are controlled by you, is the first step to obtaining your goals. Too many people just pop it in their mind, oh, I want to be a millionaire, I want 10 new clients, and they don't do the steps. If you don't do the steps, guess what?
You won't get there. And even if you do, it's only going to be temporary because the foundation isn't there.
Yeah. Well, that's part of it, too. And, of course, getting back to the internal guidance system, beliefs is very important. Do you believe you can get 10 new clients? And if so, what's the first step to getting that? Well, you know, there's many ways, but one could be, even social media. But you got to have goals that are generated solely by you, not relying on other people. Everyone, it's a blame game. They go, well, maybe someone else will do it. No, that's crazy. Take responsibility, be accountable, figure out the steps. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion on neuro-linguistic programming. You can check out the website, acceleratedmastery.com, acceleratedmastery.com. That's A-C-C-E-L-E-R-A-T-E-D, mastery.com, and we'll be right back.
At Beerenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Reidenauer, Heinsohn & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Reidenauer, Heinsohn & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Isaac, alongside Joel Steen. This is the NLP Show, presented by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network, heard 5 days a week here on BTBN. That's blogtalkradio.com/BTBN or breakradioshow.com. And that's breakradioshow.com. Now, Mitch and I are CPAs in Arizona and California. I'm a master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, and I believe, as we've been talking, Mitch, that is the key to success in business, the mindset. People know it, and they just don't maybe know how to really learn neuro-linguistic programming. And again,
it's not easy, because
no.
If you take a look at history, people in general look at the bottom line. They're talking dollars. they look at the dollars. They don't look behind the dollars, what's creating the dollars, whether it be in or out. You know, and you've made some comments in the past where you've said, you know, can you afford it or can you afford not to?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think it's really, you can't afford not to keep improving. We talked about people improve their computers, their software, but not themselves. Now, we were talking about beliefs, how important that is, how it generates behaviors. It generates decision-making and these cumulative impact of behaviors and decision-making really makes up your life and you're also your business career, you know. And I think that's really critical to understand that because people really try to do things either quicker. They think they are working smarter by doing more, but it's more of the same. You know, just because you work 8 hours in an incompetent way, 12 hours doesn't make it better. It just means more incompetence. And people don't realize that. So you got to start looking at your belief system. So let's go back. Internal guidance system, belief system is very important. Look, identify your disempowering beliefs. Look to transform them to empowering beliefs that support all your goals and activities. Other things are.
But it doesn't take much to do that. That's
no.
The thing.
Well, it doesn't. It takes an awareness and learning how to do that, which is very, very important. But some other things other than beliefs, a state of mind. We talked about that a little bit earlier. But your state of mind, are you enthusiastic or you're just sort of negative? Do you find yourself in self-talk saying things like, I can't, it'll never happen, things just don't fall my way? It's like programming a computer saying, I can't, I won't, I don't know how. And you're telling yourself, that's it. There's no sense trying because you can't or you won't.
Yeah, and you're the most complicated computer that's out there.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Me personally? No, I'm kidding. I know.
Of course.
Yeah, I'm a Megatron 247. Is that good or bad? I don't even know what that is.
Yes.
Maybe I'm an Apple.
Is that good or bad?
I'm a Macintosh. Yeah, Big Mac. That's me. I'm Big Mac. Okay. Anyway, it's really important. State
Watch
of mind.
Watch out, people. We got a Big Mac attack.
Yeah. Hey, would that be with onions? But it's really important that a state of mind, a positive state of mind. And I always tell people, like, okay, if you don't think you can, just say I don't, or if you don't know something, say it this way, I don't know yet. Yet will mean there's a possibility. But better than that, you could look at the third levels of thinking. You could say, what don't I know if I did know would make a difference? So you keep exploring. Just because you don't know something right now doesn't mean it's permanent. It just means you have to find and search for the answer. See who you hang around with. Maybe there's someone that you know. Maybe there's a book that will lead to better insight. But you really have to examine your self-talk. And analyze which way are you focused. Are you focused on I can't, I don't know how? Are you focused on I don't know yet, but I will find out? And I can do this with maybe upgraded skills, so I will continue moving towards my full potential. That makes everything. I mean, that makes all the difference in the world, and people just do not apply that concept. It seems to be easier. I hear a phone ringing. Whose phone is that? Okay. Anyway, it must be. Hey, I should give out the phone number if you want to call in, by the way. 646-652-2405, 646-652-2405. And you can call in, and I think you press 1 to talk to us, and we'll talk to you about business or NLP, whatever you want to talk about. Wow, even sports, even though it's not the sports show. Okay. Anyway. So we'll get back to internal guidance system. The other thing is physiology. You know, are you slumping down or not? You know, and people can, in their physiology, they could slump and sigh and look down and they could look self-defeated. Or you can be upright. You know, I always talk about it in demonstration questions, for example. How would you look if you just won the lottery? You know, how would you be sitting? How would you be breathing? Or if you knew there was such positive things going on in your life, what would your posture look like? How would you be thinking differently? And a lot of people just naturally are self-defeated, so they're slumped over, they're breathing heavy, they're in slow motion. So changing your physiology helps a lot too. And it will help your internal guidance system to snap into maybe a more empowering state. That's what we want.
Right. Now, one of the things that I've found, and a lot of people say, well, it's habits.
Yeah.
But really what you've been saying is it's more than just habits. In order to change habits, you've got to change that belief system.
Yeah.
And so if people said, I've got to change my habits, they've got to step back from that before you go and work on anything else to again, lay that foundation so that you can develop, and instead of breaking old habits, develop proper habits.
Well, I call it habits that support your highest and best. And habits are just basically unconscious responses that you've put in. You can have bad habits would be things that don't serve you well. Good habits are things that support what you're doing. And I think that's so important. Again, it's like you said, it's beliefs, it's states of mind. I think these habits are easy way outs for people that, hey, I've always done that, so I'm not going to try to change because it's too much effort. But the truth is, if your life is worth it, if your kids' life are worth it, if you want to make a difference in the world, you got to start doing things that will create a pathway for success for so many people. And a lot of people just do the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, which is, Mitch, the definition of?
Neuro-linguistic. Oh, yeah, I mean.
No, the definition of insanity. If you keep doing the same thing over and over again, yet expecting different results. I mean, look in relationships.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
If that's insanity, then how many people are insane in this world?
A lot.
Most people.
That's what I'm saying. No, really, doing the same thing over and over. Try something different. Like Warren Buffett, I read, you know, how successful he is. But I think he took a different route home every day just to break the unconscious way of just doing the same thing over and over again. Try doing something different. But also make sure you upgrade your skill sets. Maybe pick up a book. Tony Robbins is the most well-known of the NLP practitioners. Awaken the Giant Within, Unlimited Power, two great books. And or you can go to my website to read some great stuff, acceleratedmastery.com.
And I'll bet you it would be really good to be able to put together some sort of seminar for your business or for a group that would be able to assist people in basically starting that process.
Well, there's no doubt about it. And we'll be doing the NLP show many times each week and during the month, and people can hear the archive shows just to learn. And I think it's really important that people realize being in business or just being in life is more than just existing in life. People have to realize that they're here for a purpose. They should look at how to reach their full potential, what their passion is, how they can give their gifts and talents to other people to make a difference in their lives. That
just
is critical.
Realize it isn't one thing. It can be a moving target.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And wow.
That actually can be a very good thing.
Yeah, there's no question. So, again, neuro-linguistic programming. This is an NLP show, and wow, we're at the end of the show. But we'll talk a little bit more tomorrow on the bottom line, and we'll do another episode of the NLP show from 2 to 3 Phoenix time, Pacific Coast, and then we will do the bottom line, your show, Mr. Mitch, 3 to 4, a little bit more business-oriented. It'll be a great day tomorrow, so stay tuned for that on Blog Talk Radio. Stay tuned for Practical Business Solutions coming up at 3 o'clock, 3 to 4. Tim Hyten, right now, or Hyten Lewis, great attorney, talking about some mid-year tax planning as well as how to integrate tax and business. Very, very important. We'll see you just in a few minutes.